It's Thursday, January 20th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer of the Tech Podcast Network. And I got a great show for you. Yes, last night in Texas before I head back to the beautiful state of Hawaii. Anyway, you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the heartland of Texas via the Geek News Central portable studio. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, longtime listener of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. And of course, thanks for continuing to staying subscribed. We want to welcome new listeners to the show. If you're new to the show, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content. Check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. You want to get subscribed to the show while you're over there. You'll find the RSS feed, iTunes, Zune Marketplace, and multiple ways really to get subscribed and connect. Of course, you want to sign up for our newsletter. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during today's show. It contains all the links so that you can follow along as you listen or watch the show. Of course, if you're watching us on Roku or Boxy, hey, thanks for being subscribed and watching us there. And of course, I hope that you're also subscribe to our special media feed, which I'm shoveling a lot of content down from our trip to CES 2011. Hey, how's everybody doing? Welcome to the show. And this is start number two. I had a little bit of a false start tonight. Had put a new webcam on the computer, and accidentally loaded Firefox Beta 4 up, and it choked on the flash of the folks at Ustream. So I basically had to restart and restart the show tonight. Quite an exception. But hey, welcome to the show, and thanks for being here. I've got a lot of stuff to go over with you tonight. Getting a little late start, actually, a really late start. Went out to dinner tonight with some buddies of mine here, and just didn't get back quite in time. Anytime you get more than like two or three at dinner, then it just takes twice as long, and that was the case. So I'm using a new webcam tonight. I don't know if I care for it so much. It keeps wanting to focus and do all kinds of weird stuff, and I have no idea how to stop it from doing that. But if you're wondering, that's what's going on there. Go on my next road trip, I'll have a better camera with me. Just did not plan well for this trip. But if you're watching on Ustream, thanks for being here and being watching the show. And I hope that you'll stay for the full hour or so that I'll be going through tech content tonight. I got a lot of stuff for you. Of course, if you are wondering what's going on with the Saturday Morning Tech Show, we'll be back at that a week from Saturday. So not this Saturday, but the following week we will have a Saturday Morning Tech Show. Probably going to get Rob Greenlee and maybe one of the guys from Tech Podcast to talk about what's been going on in the tech world. So should have, not this Saturday, again the following Saturday, should be back on with the Saturday Morning Tech Show. If you've been following all of our coverage, you definitely want to go over to TPN.tv. There's just a pile of stuff that's being shoveled in there by the guys from the team. We're still a little behind in getting stuff out, but we're starting to make forward progress on it. I noticed that they were pumping up content tonight, and you really, the way to watch this in living color and in full HD is to watch the special media coverage channel at or on the Roku, or if you're subscribed, you'll be able to get these things downloaded into your portable media devices and watch as well. So I think we're up to about 220 videos that have been processed and uploaded. They just need the blog post to go along with them. So we've got a pile of stuff, and there's more yet to come. I've got about two and a half days of stuff to process from our live content to get up as well. So we're going to be writing blog posts for a while. But again, you'll be able to catch all this stuff via my special media feed or on the Roku in our special channels we've set up, and we'll have ongoing coverage throughout the year. And matter of fact, I've got a couple of sponsor proposals that we're working on as well that I have due to get back. It's just been crazy here this week, as you can be, as you can expect. But I'm hoping to, at some point here, get my head above water. I don't know if that's even possible at this point in time. It's a new year. We're busy, busy, busy. And I'm just amazed, really, at how much stuff just kind of rears its ugly head from day to day and keeps me essentially buried. And it's a little bit frustrating at times not being able to really get ahead on things, but better be busy than not busy, right? Okay, so anyway, let's see what else I've got here. Hey, definitely big thanks to GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at the show. If you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be, consider GoDaddy.com, because really, they're a friend of the show. They've taken care of me and kept the lights on here, and they have a great lineup of products and services for the online world. If you're looking to start a website, start podcasting, if you're looking to, you know, if you need a little more horsepower for your current website, you know, consider going over to GoDaddy.com and picking up one of their great products. And when you do go over there and you get ready to get to the checkout counter, don't forget your favorite geek here at Geek News Central by going to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I have a full host of promo codes for you to use. Todd will save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. As a matter of fact, I used my own code today and saved myself. I just bought a .tv domain and saved $4.95 on the purchase, which was pretty cool. And of course, lots of great savings over there, and definitely check all my promo codes out. Geek199 for $1.99.coms for new customers, or 25% off by using CES25. Don't have a lot of stuff to really go into tonight, which is good for you guys, because I'll get right into the content. Get on an airplane in Austin Saturday morning, head back to Honolulu, get back in Hawaii about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And my lovely wife is saying I have a honey-do list that is about 10 pages long, so I'm sure that's going to keep me busy throughout the rest of the weekend. But time to be home for a while. And look forward to really being in the studio at home and being able to produce the show in Hawaii instead of being on the portable rig here on travel. So let me go ahead here and start the chat so I can actually see what's going on in chat. And there we go. That stupid camera keeps adjusting the white balance and everything. If you're thinking about a trip to Vegas, definitely consider Luxor on your next trip to Vegas, because really, they took care of my team when we were out there, of course, the first week of January for CES, and the hotel rooms were great. I wanted to talk just a little bit about that. I really didn't know what to expect. We'd seen the pictures, and many times a picture on a website can be a little bit misleading. You don't know if that's really what you're going to get, but unlike some other hotels I've stayed in Vegas, when I walked in the room, it smelled good, it looked good, sheets were clean, beds were nice, pillows were sufficient. I mean, the bathroom was good to go, and I did the full up and down inspection on the room, and I know that we just didn't get assigned special rooms. They knew we were coming, and we'd be looking at the hotel closely. The clerk kind of had to dig for a room when I got there because I checked in early, so I know I just got one randomly. But I'm going to tell you, the room was nice, and the facilities there were nice as well. And you can save a lot of money by using basically the link on the website at geeknewscentral.com or at tpn.tv. Click on the link, take it over to Luxor, book your next stay there. If you're not going to Vegas, drop the folks at Luxor a line on their contact page. Tell them thank you for being a sponsor and that you appreciate it, and you'll consider them on your next trip to Vegas. That would help us out. So definitely appreciate Luxor for their support, as well as Audible.com. You know, get a free book on me by going to audiblepodcast.com/CES. That free book really will basically introduce you to Audible books. You know, Audible, you know, a lot of people had this tendency to think that audiobooks were for people that really weren't good readers. It's not the case at all. When I'm on travel, I consume most of my reading. When I'm home, I really don't have the extra time to do so. But I've been able to now, because I've been an Audible customer, is be able to listen to them in the car, going to the gym, which I'm doing now, and a variety of other activities where basically I'm able to duplicate my time. And you go to audiblepodcast.com/CES and get a free trial, get a free 14-day trial, get a free book. You can't beat it. Check it out. And I think you're going to enjoy the rich, warm readings that come from professional readers, almost to the point of actors. And it's really cool. I really enjoy my Audible subscription and getting a free book every month. So I guess a question for all of you is, which book have you bought on or picked up on Audible recently with your subscription that you like that I could pick up and listen to as well? Love to hear your book suggestions, and then we can do a full review on it here on the show. If you want some Ohana gear, want some t-shirts and swag, go to cafepress.com/Ohana store. Become an insider by coming over to geeknewscentral.com/insider. Supporting the show, I'd appreciate it with your donations. It definitely helps me. And I appreciate every one of you that is a monthly contributor to the show. It really helps me out. It really, really does. And we want to continue to build the insider base. Become an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Okay, let me go ahead here and look what I have in the stack for you. And there's a bunch. There's a lot of stuff in the news tonight. And this small business say, I carry germ wipes, Febreze, and such when going to stay in a hotel. You know, I went to a hotel in Vegas a couple of years ago for a short stay. And basically, I booked just kind of a strip hotel that had been around a very long time. And I walked in the room, and no matter what amount of Febreze you would have had, it would not have. I basically immediately turned right around, told the bellman, take my bags down to the front desk. And went down and says, listen, you have got to do something different or better. If not, I'm leaving immediately. And they took care of me, but I'll never go back to that specific hotel again. But I stay in so many hotels every year. I get a full, 120-some days last year I was in hotels. And you really get this appreciation for hotels that have staff that really care. And Luxor was one of those. I'm staying in a Hilton today in Texas, and they're taking real good care of me too. But yeah, I don't carry Febreze with me for sure. Okay, let me go ahead here, and it got me distracted through the chat window. But Google is confirming today through their announcement with their amongst many things they announced during their earnings call today that they're activating 300,000 Androids a day. So in the fourth quarter earnings call, some 300,000 devices, that's 9 million or so a month. That's some pretty remarkable numbers there. And there were some other highlights during the question and answer, and basically tablets versus smartphones, and the response was that they're both viable, saying mobile search grew 4 times on mobile devices. No doubt that market is really growing. And click-to-call ads are generating a lot of money every month. Now, they didn't really, a lot or a massive amount, they didn't really specify. But really, the big news was that the CEO, Schmidt, has stepped down. As of starting April 4th, Larry Page, co-founder, will take charge of Google's day-to-day operations. Sergey Brin, another Google co-founder, will devote his energy to strategic projects, in particular working on new product lines. And Eric Schmidt, the outgoing CEO, will assume the role of executive chairman. He's going to be focusing on deals, partnerships, customers, and broader business relationships. And I found this is kind of interesting. Government outreach. Does that mean lobbying? And technology thought leadership. So anyway, a lot of stuff going on. But anyway, Larry Page is going to be taking over as CEO, so changing the guard at Google. And this has been a long time coming. Google had earnings of $8.44 billion in revenue with $2.54 billion in net income, up from $1.97 billion in quarter four of 2010. A little more news a little later in the show about what's going on at Google, but definitely they continue to be on the move. How many of you are familiar with Box.net? I really wasn't familiar with this site, but this is a cloud-based file sharing and collaboration service. Box.net has rolled out some updates, and I went over there today to look at this, And basically, I looked at some of the rundown as well, and it's got a real clean UI. There's more features on the main interface. Some interesting stuff there. I have not ever been really familiar with this site, but I signed up for an account because I'm pretty excited what they're doing here with customer collaboration and a bunch of different stuff. So I think this is something I'm going to be able to use. I'm going to play around with it for a couple of weeks, and I'll let you know what I think about it. But if any of you are Box.net customers, I'd love to hear what you guys think about the service and what you like the most about it. You can email me here at the show at geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. I see Mom has joined the chat. Welcome to the show, Mom. And Mom's out in Virginia with my sister right now. Got a couple of sick kids over there, I found out today as I was talking to her. All right, Verizon. You know, I don't know what to think about Verizon. Verizon, you know, says, "Oh, we believe in net neutrality, and we support everything that goes around with net neutrality." But today, they basically told the FCC to shove it. They believe that the FCC is overstepping its authority with its quest for net neutrality. Verizon has filed an appeal against FCC's self-imposed powers to regulate the internet, and they're saying this is not. You haven't been granted this by Congress. But Verizon's press release basically is pretty self-explanatory, and it claims that the FCC is essentially overstepping its authority and is actually hurting openness and innovation on the internet with its new rules. So they're saying, and this is what's kind of funny here, they say Verizon has long been committed to preserving an open internet. Well, they have not. You know, this is what's so funny. In meeting the needs of customers, we have worked extensively with all players in the internet and communication space to shape policies that ensure an open internet and encourage investment, innovation, and collaboration with content providers and others to meet the needs of customers. Now, they've been all about control, control, control. And the review they're filing today is supposedly after careful review of the FCC order. And they're concerned about the new regulations and so forth. So we'll see where this goes, but basically where this will end up happening is end up going to court and at some point act one way or the other. But Verizon is the first one to strike and saying, oh, we can't live by these rules. We can't have open access. So we'll see. Again, remember, they want to control the airways completely. They don't want to be open at all. All right, Twitter's real-time activity spills over to live engagement. And I kind of had to laugh here. I read this article over at eHome Upgrade. And, you know, more and more people are watching TV really with their smartphones or their tablets sitting on their lap. And they're finding, as should be expected, that during certain online events or concerts that Twitter activity spikes. I guess that should not come as a surprise at all. I don't know if someone actually paid for one of these studies, but I think we all kind of knew that. I actually was watching Really Scared Straight on A&E here in the hotel room two nights ago. And this show blew me away. If you've got a rebellious teenager that you're having a handful with, I'm going to tell you, this is you need to get them... get this DVR'd and have them watch this. There's been a lot of scared straight type shows I've seen before, but this is one that's going to be dedicated every week to bringing troubled youth into maximum security prisons and really doing the shock treatment on them. And so I was actually watching it. I was sitting in front of the computer, so I wonder what people are saying on Twitter. And I went in and I was reading comments that kind of gave me some insight into the people. I saw a lot of young people replying to or responding on Twitter about that particular show. And they were all like, oh my gosh, I need to clean up my attitude and so forth. So it was interesting to watch the response from younger adults that were watching this. And so again, it's one of those shows. And again, I would recommend parents pre-record this. Maybe preview it yourself. Make sure it's material that you want to expose your teenager to and check it out. But it was one show that I was like, whoa. For nothing else, it might be a great program even to show any teenager at one time to say, don't watch your P's and Q's, young man or lady. This is what could happen. But anyway, pretty cool stuff. All right, let's talk about Samsung Smart TVs. They have served up 2 million app downloads globally since January of 2011. This is big. I'm excited. It appears that Samsung is on a tear with its TV app market. The company announced that they hit 2 million downloads this month, doubling what they did at the end of November 2010. So really what's going on there is they sold a lot of smart TVs over the Christmas period, and people are starting now to having some time to explore their television set. We've got a full review on a Samsung Smart TV coming out on the CES coverage. It really goes into detail. Andy McCaskey did that and took a lot of time with Samsung to go through that particular television. So I'll be excited to see his report on this. Hey, over on Engadget, Opera browser headed to Sony TVs and Blu-ray players. And I thought, okay, does that mean that they're going to be putting Opera on Google TV? But what's being said is that Opera's officially announced its much-loved web browser will be appearing on Sony TVs and Blu-ray players. There's no specific details, but given its key presence at CES a few weeks ago, some people actually saw something on one of the televisions and actually were able to see that there was some sort of a prototype working. But the browser is based off, of course, the off the Opera SDK backbone, so it's not much of a stretch to think that Opera is going to have enabled web applications and widgets or other contents working with HTML5. There's no Flash, but apparently this is expected to piggyback on to Sony Gear versus necessarily being tied directly to Google TV. So this is interesting here, where this is going to go. So we'll keep an eye on this, and we'll see what comes from Sony with the Opera. If you're in for a new router, for a wireless router, Cisco has unveiled the Linksys E4200 dual-band router. This is capable of speeds up to 450 megs per second. What I like about this is that it's really designed for those of you that have a lot of wireless devices in the house for home entertainment, and you're maximizing the throughput on your current router. This one here is a can handle multiple signals at one time, multiple active computers. But it's got, if those that want to be wired, it has some gigabit Ethernet ports as well. It has six antennas and several internal and external signal amplifiers. So this is pretty cool. And it's for those itching to pair a performance router with a new internet cable TV, this $179.99 device may be the way to go. And I do like the Cisco Gear. I really do. I've had the best luck with their wireless routers. And, of course, most of the Cisco stuff is the same as Netgear. Okay, Pop Drive Portable RAID Solution. If you have a USB external drive and not making up your data, you're putting your data at risk. So a USB hard drive could crash just as easily as a notebook or desktop hard drive. And sometimes faster because you're banging those things around. Pop Drive has a solution where you drop two regular drives into this device, and it basically is RAID 0 compliant. So you have a perfect copy on both of those drives, and this is pretty cool. So if a drive goes bad, you can pop another one in. This can sit pretty inconspicuously under a desk or something, but definitely check out Pop Drive. And of course, their website is at popdrive.com. And this was an article up at Geek News Central. Have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. One thing I was really impressed with was the Samsung Super AMOLED screens. This is a prototype that we saw, and the screen is if you have a Samsung Galaxy S, those screens are called Active Matrix Organic Light Emitting Diode. Now, they're AMOLED. And these are really high-quality flat screens. But when we saw the Super AMOLED, this was a screen outside the device that was flexible. You can touch it. You can bend it. You got to see this. Now, they didn't really let us get our hands on it, but I think once you see the video, you'll be pretty amazed. And it just goes to show, once this gets cheap enough, that there's going to be some cool stuff. Another thing I saw that I thought was cool and I forgot to talk about was a Cheerios box that lit up. And it's using a Z-Wave technology, and basically they're transferring. You basically have a special shelf with special electrical sensors in it, and what's going to happen soon is your cereal boxes and stuff you buy in the grocery store is going to be advertising to you through ink that's actually electrically printed onto the boxes. And it is relatively inexpensive. It doesn't add much cost to the actual packaging, but we're actually going to have billboards inside our grocery stores at some point here soon. Great review at TPN.tv on a variety of products and services. How many of you know now that OnStar is now available in any car? It's an aftermarket OnStar system. For $299, you can get the OnStar installation, and then for $200, you can stay safe. This is, an aftermarket. It goes into, basically, you replace your rear-view mirror, and you can install it in your Ford, your Toyota, your Honda, your Yugo. You can even upgrade an older GM vehicle. So if any of you have been hoping to get OnStar service, but you haven't had a Chevy product, don't worry. OnStar is going into aftermarket into other vehicles, which is, I think, is pretty cool. Okay, port your own phone number over to Google Voice. And actually, I had a call come in today on Google Voice, and that doesn't get used a lot. And I was kind of surprised to see it come in, and I didn't get to my phone quick enough before it was before the person hung up and they didn't leave a message. But if you want to get your wireless number ported to Google Voice, then there's great news. Google has opened this up. It's going to cost you about $20, and an early termination fees from your cellular provider will likely apply. But if you've got a home number or something that you want to move over to Google Voice, this may be the way to do that. So your mobile phone can reside in the cloud instead of residing at your mobile provider. All right, Google also announced YouTube revenues more than doubled. Also, YouTube today introduced a brand new homepage. So they've revamped the YouTube website completely. We know that YouTube serves more than 2 billion videos a day, including more than 100 million a day on mobile devices. And they've definitely ramped up advertising. But YouTube pulled in $450 million in revenue during 2009. And they've had really double the growth here. So they're over $1 billion in revenue from, you know, basically advertisers. Now the question is, what is their bandwidth cost? You know, is that a loss leader? I'd really like to know that. Hey, the folks over at Hulu, if you're a Hulu user, they want to know if you're a cord cutter. And this, I found this over at New TV at GigaOhm. But Hulu CEO Jason Kilar has told New TV Live that his site isn't a replacement for pay TV, but it looks like his company isn't so sure about that anymore and the way things are changing. And Hulu's rolled out a mini survey on a site using ad breaks to ask users how they watch TV at home. One of the options mentioned said, "I stream what I want, when I want, over the internet." Hulu, Netflix, other, it also mentions other free over-the-air broadcast. So this is a pretty survey, and Hulu's starting to get it, that there's many of us that are cutting the cord like I have. Or if you've got an iPhone 4, and you've really wanted to do some do-it-yourself with this thing, basically breaking it down, a good article over on technologizer.com today talking about Apple's basically using what's called a pentalobe screw. And there's these Torx screws that many of you are familiar with. There's the Torx security ones, and there's Torx Plus. But the pentalobe screw, really, there's no known screwdrivers available on the market to be able to remove these screws. So some folks at iFixit have come up with a little kit for $9.99. It's called the iPhone Liberation Kit. It includes a pentalobe screwdriver and 2 Phillips screws to replace the harder-to-remove cousins. It costs $9.99. There's a variety of devices that are using these new screws by Apple. Matter of fact, if you have a MacBook Mini, is that what they're called? MacBook Air, excuse me. They're using these pentalobe screws as well. So no battery replacement on your own until you get this special screwdriver. I saw the coolest demo today. I about jumped out of my skin. You got to go over to Torrent Freak. This will be really the article of the night that you guys need to check out. I think you're going to be blown away what's going on here. BitTorrent Inventor is demoing a new peer-to-peer live streaming protocol. Bram Cohen, the inventor of BitTorrent, has come up with the code that and getting ready to finalize code for his new P2P live streaming protocol. Now, they're not ready to open this up until June, but what he had was one computer that had a webcam like I'm running here. It's just set up on a desk. And then he had six other computers that were basically getting the video stream. And what was happening is he was sending some bits to one machine, some bits to the other, and then they were cross-sending back and forth, just like peer-to-peer does. And with very little lag, and the quality was pretty cool. This is pretty fascinating stuff here to see, and a lot of people really didn't think this was possible. It's one thing to put downloaded file video bits, bits back together, but when you're actually trying to stream something, it's a whole different level of challenge, but I'm excited. I cannot wait to see what they introduce here. But they demoed it today. We have no idea what kind of a network they are on, if it was internal, or they didn't really describe or qualify the setup, which I wish they would have. But boy, oh boy, this could be revolutionary for all of us that are doing streaming by being able to do peer-to-peer live streaming. And just think of the money saved. You know, think about what we did in Vegas for CES and dealing with Ustream and their commercials. And if we could have had a peer-to-peer streaming protocol where, wow, I just can't imagine. It's exciting stuff. So we'll see where this goes over the next year. Now, check this out. Over the past, ever since the Podcast Awards, I've been getting harassed on a regular basis by some individuals, and the harassing phone calls have continued, and it's really gotten a little bit out of hand. I haven't acknowledged it up this point, hopefully to try to keep people from, keep these individuals from continuing to pursue their harassment. But make a long story short here, Samsung, in their user manual, are teaching people how to make a fake call. Right in their user manual, it says you can simulate an incoming call when you want to get out of meetings or unwanted conversations. In idle mode, press and hold the navigation key down. When the keys are locked, press the navigation key down 4 times. So it talks about how to make a fake phone call. I guess you can't actually call someone. Maybe this is weird. But it's pretty amazing to see that they actually showed this on the in their user manual. So time will tell. Over on Uber Gizmo, locks and safes have always been the target of criminals trying to open them. And there's a variety of different safes that have a variety of different security levels. Some are much stronger than others, and some take more letter combinations and more right and lefts, and some are digital. But a robot has been designed on a specific safe to do brute force. Basically, it sits there and dials combinations all day at high speed. And the gentleman that designed this feels that he can unlock most really high-grade government-level GSA-protected safes in about 20 hours of manual manipulation. This is according to some propaganda on the website. They show the device at work. I would question whether or not it could do it in 20 hours because the speed is a little bit slower than what I thought. But I'll let you guys check out this robot safe cracker. It really, though, pretty crazy stuff. You don't have to sit. This thing is set up to automatically back and forth spin the dial. So at some point, probably some safe manufacturers are going to have to come up with some new ways to protect material inside safes. Hey, a Delta IV Heavy has blasted off from California. This is the United States Alliance Delta IV heavy rocket launched on this afternoon with a satellite that is from unknown origin, some government agency, from the Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. This was the first launch of a Delta IV Heavy from Vandenberg and was the largest rocket to ever launch from the west coast of the United States. According to this article that I'm reading on UniversityToday.com, this is supposedly a satellite for the National Reconnaissance Office. Of course, there's no details about this, but this Delta IV had 2 million pounds of thrust, and this is America's most powerful liquid-fueled rocket. And I watched the YouTube video of the launch. Pretty remarkable launch. It really was. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. More science on Universe Today. The NanoSail, remember we talked about that just before I left for Vegas? Well, the NanoSail, which was launched, I believe on December, what was the date of this launch? December 6th, never deployed, but they got a message from it today saying that the sail had deployed from the canister that it was launched in, and now they're begging ham operators to help track this thing and get a handle on where it's at. Because within the next 72 hours, it will actually open. It's not in an open state right now. It's in a closed state. But NASA is asking for help. If you're a ham operator, they have got a website up that's at nanosaild.ngr.scu.edu. Anyway, I'll link up in the show notes. But if you can tune it to 437.270 megahertz, they want you to see if you can track this thing. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes for you ham operators out there. And if Michael Dell, if you're listening, get on your ham set and help NASA out. All right, infectious cancer cells hop host steel replacement parts. And scientists are really getting down and dirty and looking at what's going on with the cancer cells. We know cancer is often deadly, and it's a very heartbreaking disease. For a variety of levels, different types of cancers are some are worse than others. But over the last few years, scientists have been able to identify really this ability in at least two cancer cells that have evolved into a communicable disease. And what they found is that apparently what happens is the cancer cells steal part of its host cells, which it then infects them. And this is a transmissible cancer, and one was a lethal oral cancer, pushing the basically, in both cases, less lethal and wider reaching. It strikes domestic dogs, so this is actually something that's happened in dogs as well. They were talking about this primarily, though, in humans. They're not clear what to call cancers evolved in isolation from its host, but they're very scared here about these what's going on with some of these cancer cells. But they feel that some of the cancers are evolving and getting smarter and working against some of the medicines, which is completely nuts. But scientists are going to have to really come up with new regimens to protect people, I guess, and animals too. This is pretty wild. The disease, canine transmissible, appears to originate a few thousand years ago. It's based on the difference between its DNA and that of a domestic dog. And this has evolved, I guess, over time. That's kind of a weird article. It kind of leads you down one path and then take you another, but I'll have this up in the show notes for you to check it out. Well, a pair of researchers presenting at Black Hat DC are showing off a pretty cool trick in which they attacked a laptop using a smartphone. Basically, they plugged a smartphone into the laptop, and they basically tricked the PC into thinking that what was attached to it was not a smartphone, but a keyboard. And they were able to take control and do things within the computer, which you would, basically be able to do with, a remote keyboard without someone knowing it. But it was kind of a cool demo. Have a link up in the show notes on that as well. Big content creators are pressing the ICANN to make it easier for them to challenge domain suffixes. There's been a desire to have the .music, in other words, .music extension in the domain name system, but the MPAA and RIAA are fighting it tooth and just going after them like crazy. They don't want these particular domain name suffixes to be released. And what it really means, ultimately, is that not only can the RIAA and MPAA, but the general public can go after and question some of these new domain name extensions. So this is pretty nuts. The ICANN has proposed that it that if a domain offends an organization, they have a basically a multi-point way to protest it and submit for consideration. Even talks about guidelines on, you know, it gives them a cookbook essentially on how to protest this stuff. So this is pretty nuts. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes on this. You guys can check it out. Hey, over on Digital Trends, there's a study that's come out that said all energy could be renewable by 2030, which I would be very surprised if we had 100% of our energy being created by renewable energy by that time. You know, with fossil fuels on the decline, you know, my thing is, all right, we're so worried about fossil fuels, let's start building some nuclear power plants. And you know what? People are all really scared about nuclear, but you start losing your power for 4, 5, 6, 8, 12 hours every day. I'm sure the attitude towards nuclear power would change pretty quickly. But some studies done said that all energy renewable could be in place by 2030. That's not very far away. I'd be very surprised if that really was the case. I'd be surprised if we were at 40% or even 30% by 2030. A new contact lens with an LED display has been designed. So now, if you are a, you know, this is basically being designed for gamers. This is an augmented reality video games designed for your mobile devices. Basically, you link up this contact lens with the LED display in it in your mobile device, and you'll be able to have this big screen experience playing video games. Obviously, this is in the design mode, but a Swiss company has created a contact lens with the embedded electronics, going to be used primarily initially for glaucoma patients and allow doctors to accurately and continuously monitor fluctuations in intraocular pressure, which is a dangerous thing. So if you're not getting an annual eye exam and you've got glaucoma that runs in your family, you need to get in and get the pressure checked on your eyeballs at least once a year. My dad had rising pressure and he had to take drops for years, and I'm being very careful, making sure I get a checkout every year, because if you don't, the rising pressure inside your eyeball can lead to glaucoma and more dangerous things as well. Anyway, they feel that they're going to be able to use this special contact lens to do tracking in these new, it's crazy. You know, next thing you know, people are going to be wigged out just wearing contact lenses. Trapster.com, creator of popular mobile application, has warned users that its speed trap application was hacked by hackers, and over a million people's email addresses and contact information was downloaded. So if you've been using that speed trap tracker by them, be aware of that. The HTML working group has done away with version numbers for web page rendering standards. This is kind of cool. Instead of a version number for the standard as a whole, what they're going to do is that it's basically they're just not going to come up with a number. It's going to be their HTML version is going to be considered a living document. The HTML5 standard is going to be considered a living document, and one that's going to be updated on an ongoing basis. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens from an implementation standpoint. We're going to end up with these huge matrices of a list of HTML5 capabilities, and then what we're going to find out is, you know, which of those features are enabled on a variety of different browsers over time. So kind of cool. But I don't know if I like them not having a version or not at this point. Well, another thing that happened at the Black Hat DC conference was A University of Luxembourg student on Wednesday did show that it's possible to trick iPhone users into joining a fake network. They showed how to cobble together a laptop using open source software and other low cost gear to create a fake mobile tower transmitter. And basically, iPhones in the very near location of this were tricked to log in to that fake mobile tower, and they were able to gain information about the phones that way as well. So really not, it wasn't a mobile tower, but it basically tricked phones to actually checking in with the new this hacked up mobile rig. A lot of worry going on about Netflix dealing with Hollywood and basically the love-hate affair that Hollywood has with Netflix, and how the folks in Hollywood are smelling money, and they keep pushing the fees up that Netflix is having to pay to get the content. So I just wonder, do you guys think that Netflix is going to be squeezed so hard and prices going to raise so high that they're not able to compete? We've talked about this a little bit more, but it appears that there's more pressure going on by Netflix and having to pay a lot more money for content than what it used to. Love to hear your feedback on that. And do you think Netflix is going to be able to keep up with all of the different content offerings and keep us satisfied as customers? All right, if you're thinking about suing your boss, you shouldn't use your work email address to contact your lawyer. If you do that, according to a California court, that email is not protected by attorney-client privilege. Now, I don't find this to be surprising. Now, most employers keep track of work emails, so you should not be surprised that if you decide to sue your employer, that they're not going to go into your archived email, which they'll keep on a separate server, not accessible by you because of work group policies, and then go through that and find out if you've been sharing information with your lawyer via email. And if you have, consider that to be in your employer's hands against you. Now, we always like to see stuff that's retro, stuff that the government tried in early days. But in the 1950s, the U.S. Army was trying to build an immense complex beneath the frozen surface of Greenland. It would be a research center and also be a great place to protect folks during a nuclear war. And I think you guys are going to be amazed. I had no idea that this was actually done, how much money was spent, but wait till you see this video. I think you're going to get a laugh about this. And they used this for a couple of years, but ultimately it collapsed on itself. But they got a pretty cool video documentary. It's pretty long, but it's one of those, 1950 U.S. government information videos, and I think you'll get a kick out of it. I have a link up in the show, and it's about a polar base. Over on Gizmodo, for the very first time, a malaria parasite was caught on video. Basically, they had a camera filming some malaria cells in and amongst red blood cells, and they actually, for the very first time, caught the very instant that the malaria parasite invaded the red blood cell. And boy, scientists are about flipping their lids, because they see what's happened, how it happened, how it processed, what the transformation of the red blood cell was. And when you see this, you're going to think, that could happen inside of me. It's really some spooky stuff. But anyway, I'll have this link up in the show notes, because they feel they're going to be able to develop new regimens against malaria, which is cool. All right, if you want to have a little fun, I always like having like puzzle boxes. When I was used to go over to the Middle East, you can buy these puzzle boxes. And basically, a lot of times they're jewelry boxes, and there's really, you can't see how you open them until you know how to press or push or pull or jack or jive a certain part of the box in order to get the lid to pop open. Well, there's a cell phone lockup, and this is a $15.98 item. And basically, you put a person's cell phone inside this device and then give it to them. Say, okay, go ahead and get it out. And they include instructions for owners. And as nothing else, it would be a fun thing to have around the office, or you know, I like this kind of stuff and giving it to people and having to try to open stuff. It's you know, makes a good conversation piece. But cell phone lockup, $15.98. I'll be ordering one of these for sure. Lifehacker has a good article about why you shouldn't check your email first thing in the morning. And I don't necessarily know if I agree with them. Usually when I get up so early. You know, it's because I get up early enough that I have planned to check email and get through it before I have to take kids to school. But they're saying that checking email in the morning kills productivity. So when you get out of bed, they say resist as long as you can reading your email. And they're saying that you'll have higher productivity if you don't. And I don't know about that. But anyway, this is over on Lifehacker. And I'll have that, of course, that link up in the show notes for you. Robin Good has a good article about how to improve your website speed. And this is articles he wrote in 2010 on how to improve your website speed. Google's going to be deducting quality points from our websites if they're loading too slow. So this is a good thing for you to check out and implement on your website some of these changes. Okay, I'll have a link to the YouTube blog page. It talks about the new YouTube homepage. We talked about it earlier in the show, but I've got a full article here on what's changed. And I went over to the YouTube website and I looked at it. And what I like about this new site is you used to have all this crap on the front site, and you had to kind of hunt around to get down into categories. I can get into science and technology category with one click. And I think that's pretty cool. I really do. And they've got popular, most viewed. You can look at most responded. You know, all this. I think this is good. I think their new site design looks pretty cool. So I'll have this link up. You can just go over to YouTube and check it out with their what they've got going on. All right, Logan, go ahead and let me load email here. And what have I got for... Is this thing going to load? Come on, baby. Does it want to load? It doesn't want to load very fast. Why is that? Am I still connected to the... Am I going to have to go the other way to get into this? Oh, that's odd. The email doesn't want to load here. Let me try reloading it. Just before the show started, I had to restart the Clearwire connection here that I have with me in the hotel room, and I don't know if the if it's gotten confused or what's going on. Yeah, here it comes. It's finally starting to load. All right, why is it moving messages to trash? Oh, man. You know, so what I'm finding, how many of you are using IMAP with Gmail and are finding it taking longer and longer and longer to load? I've seen some serious reduction in performance. And what I'm doing right now is I'm going over to, I can't get in. I'm trying to load Gmail as a website right now, and it doesn't want to load either. Come on, baby. We may not have any posts waiting for mail.google.com. They must be having trouble right now because I can't even get there via the web. Huh. Well, that's what I get for not having the email preloaded here. So let me look at the time. Where are we at on time? It's starting to load now. Something finally kicked in. All right. Come on. I don't know why it's taking so long. And I'm streaming on a different GNC comments. There we go. It loaded the right folder up. Well, this is very, very frustrating. I'm clicking stuff and Google's just sitting here and basically flipping me the bird. Loading, loading, loading. And this is, you know, this is what you get being in a sucky hotel room with sucky bandwidth. It really gets old. I mean, it really, really does. And it just drives me crazy. Okay, there we go. All right. Yeah, I don't think we had any email come in. If I did, I didn't get it copied over. So it finally loaded, and I think we're good. All right, well, I guess that's going to wrap it up. No voicemails tonight either. So if you got comments on the show, you can give us a ring at 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show today. And, of course, I'll be back in Honolulu next week for being in the studio there. Yeah, someone's saying, just use your phone. Just use your phone. It'll pull it up faster. Probably would have. But anyway, I'll be back in Honolulu for until at least the end of the month. I don't think I'm going anywhere. And I do have to make a quick run to Chicago on, let me look at the calendar. I leave the night of February 3rd, but until then I'll be home. So look forward to bringing you guys shows from Hawaii and kind of being back in the studio for a couple of weeks. That'll be great. And send me your comments, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you a show tonight. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's greatly appreciated. Until next time, take care and aloha.